And it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Father Jesus, we want to thank you so much for the blessing of the day. That they might look out, O God, and what you have done for us just this day, that you allowed us to be part of the creation that you've created this day for us to enjoy. All the good things, Father, just think about our family and our food and our health that we have this time. And we just want to praise you and thank you what you're doing in the lives of your people. And Father, we want to thank you what you're doing here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And Father, we just ask you just continuously to bless us. And we just pray that we all might grow in grace and knowledge of our great Lord and Savior, that's Jesus Christ, because you're worthy of it all. And Father, we just have one thing in common. We know that our sins have been forgiven. We want to reach out to other people, oh Father, that do not know you as Lord and Savior. And I pray, God, even this night, that you might put somebody's heart to be opened up tonight, Lord, that you might put somebody's name on their heart, oh God, that they might love them to Jesus for it's everlasting too late. Again, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the Word of God and for the songs have been sung and the prayers have been offered. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we're going to talk about these three stages for just a little while here this night. And we're going to start off probably in the stage of a children's stage. But you think about this, and Romans, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we think about how God has blessed us so much and how he gave us. And it said that you must be born again. Now, we know that. That means little children's stage. So we're at the children's stage when we're born again. We start off as babies. Every one of us started off in our Christian life as babies when we was born again. Now, babies, aren't they so cute? I mean, we got a bunch of babies around our church. Aren't they just so sweet and they're so cute? I tell you, Miss Winnie, she works there at that hospital with all those babies, and she works there in the birthing center. You know, really, that's what this church and all churches ought to be, is a birthing center, that we birth people, you know, into the family of Jesus Christ. And that's the way we all get in the family of Jesus Christ. So, you know, mother and father's birthing a baby. I know that mothers go through a lot of pain and suffering and sorrow. And it's rough on the fathers, too. But that birthing part, as we know, most of us are mothers and fathers here tonight. You know, that birthing part is the easiest part. The birthing part is the easiest part. The hard thing is taking that little one, that little baby, and train it into adulthood. There's where the problem comes in. There's where the pain comes in. There's where the more the sorrow and difficult comes in. Because I often heard, you know, the babies, you know, they're on your toes, but you see when they leave, they'll be on your heart. But it's so hard, you know, to bring up children today. And it's never been easy to bring up children and to move them from time they're brought into the world, the little things, to bring them to adulthood. It takes a lot of pain and a lot of problems. So it says there, the same thing is in the spiritual. My little children, that means my little born ones, as God is talking through his word of God, through John. My little born ones, my little birth ones, that you've just been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. That's the first place. That's where we start off in our Christian walk, is a baby, and our sins have been forgiven. Have you ever thought about a wonderful thing that is, that your sins have been forgiven? Most of us are old enough to look back upon our life, and you know, there's a lot of things that wish we had not have done, and a lot of things we wish we'd have done we didn't do, and there are just a lot of sins in our life. Every one of us have a lot of sins as we look back upon our life. I wouldn't want the people to open up my heart and throw it on this screen here and see all the ugliness of my life that I've done since I've been born in this world. I don't think any of you would want to know, any of us to know everything in your life, what all the ugly things we've been doing, all the sins we have done. But the greatest thing that I can ask God to forgive me, and he has forgiven me of all my sins. And he said, I don't remember them anymore. What sins are you talking about? And you see, you don't have to worry about looking back in your life and think about all the little ugly things that we've done and how what a sinner we were, because Jesus Christ says you've been forgiven. And God forgive us for all of our sins. That's so wonderful, isn't it, tonight? When you're born again, your sins are forgiven, no matter what it is. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he paid the price for all the ugly sins that I've done, and my sins are forgiven me. It says not for what I deserve, but he says for his name's sake, because what Christ has done for me and for you. He's forgiven you for his name's sake. Not anything we've done, as I said. But see, the birthing part is that easy part. The hard part is developing maturing Christians. You know, that's where our church really comes in at, is developing Christians. That's the reason we have Sunday school. I mean, that's the reason we need to encourage. Every day we have a Sunday school class. Every one of us, we need to encourage other Christians to come to the Sunday school class that they may grow. That's hard part, that development. And then on Wednesday night, that's the part we need to go. As we go through this, there's several things that we need to do our own self is for us to develop. You see, and be the mature Christians that we really are. How you doing in your growth life? How you developing in your Christian life since you've been saved? You know, Israel, it wasn't hard for God to get Israel out of Egypt. He done that out just a few months. But it took him a long time to get Egypt out of Israel or out of the people. In fact, they had to die in the wilderness. All those was 20 years old and older that come out, but two, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them, he just could never get Egypt out of Israel. So they just had to die in the wilderness. So it's a hard thing, you know, for us to understand this. But old Peter says, now as you begin to grow, 1 Peter 1 and 23, as we read this, and it says, being born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then we also have 2 Peter 3 and 18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, also it says there in 1 John 5 and 1 in the same book, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also is begotten of him, born again. So we find out we've been born again. And I tell you, it's great to know that. These three stages in this spiritual growth, I know when I first got saved, I didn't know there was a stage. I didn't know very much about the Bible, and I still don't know very much about the Bible. But it says little children's stage. You say if we're born again, we in the child stage. 13, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father, little children. Different word there in verse 13, it is there in verse 12. Verse 12, it says, my little born ones. But now there in verse 13, it means a baby has been born into this world and it has life and it's capable of growing and being a mature person. It's a little baby, but it has everything it needs to grow and mature. You see, if you have a little one born in your family, isn't it great to know that it's healthy? I mean, it's got all the potentials then of growing up to be a grown lady or a grown man. That's what it says here in this verse 13. Little children, that you got everything that's necessary for you to grow from a very baby into adulthood as spiritual. You have known the Father. You know, babies, as a physical babies that are born in this world, you know, first two people they usually see is a mother and a father. You know, they can recognize these new faces that we have. They can probably recognize their mother probably quicker than they can their fathers. All things are new to them. Well, the same thing about spiritual babies too. Romans 8 and 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, I can call now Daddy to my Lord and Savior. He's my Abba, Father. You know, you can call Jesus Christ Daddy. And that's personal to each one of us tonight. Most of us has had a childhood growing up in the era that we grew up in the family. That we remember our dads and how it was whenever we was in our homes of our dad. And it just says something about Daddy. And that's what it says here. We cry, Abba, Father, as little children. We can call on our Daddy. And each one of us has a Daddy when you're born again. You see, that's another blessing of being born again, because You see, people don't know the Lord. They don't have a father, a spiritual father. I mean, they think they have, but they don't have a spiritual father. God loves everybody. Yes, God loves everybody. He died for the whole world. But you see, you're not in the family of God until you're born again. That's all there is to it. There's two families in the world, and a lot of lost sinners don't realize this and don't like to talk about it. But you see, if you're born one time, you're born in the Satan family. You was born wrong the first time. You got to be born again. And born again, we're born in the family of the Lord. A new experience is in our life. So that's what it was with me. I was born again. I couldn't explain the doctrine of justification. I couldn't explain repentance. Didn't know anything about the Bible. I still know very little right now. But I knew that I had a new experience in my life. And I had a new reality in my life as a little babe in Christ. So there's the beginning stage as babes in Christ. Now, babes are very beautiful, beautiful things, aren't they? I mean, they're just very, very special, these little babies. I know that Wendy has a good time at the hospital, all these little babies. Look at our nursery. Thank the Lord for Teresa, the rest of the ladies that works in the nursery. We thank them so much. The nursery is great, and we appreciate the little ones we have in our nursery. And I know I've told you before a slogan of our nursery, we shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. So that's what they do in the nursery. But we appreciate all the help of these beautiful babies. But in the spiritual realm, it's the same as our nursery over here. The wonder, the wonderful to be in a church where we have little ones. Now, not just the physical little ones we have, but to be in a church where we see regularly a lot of people saved and coming to know Jesus Christ on the basics that they have a new life experience with Jesus Christ. And we appreciate that. When the invitation time comes each Sunday and each Wednesday night, you know, some people ought to walk down the aisle and be saved. That's a great time, you know, see spiritual birth happen, to see people come down the aisle and be saved. How are you doing on your part of getting people down the aisle? And how are you doing on your part of helping people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? See, there's two stages as a child, you know. We have the normal stage, and then there's an abnormal stage as childhood stages in our physical life. Well, let's look at the normal stage to start with. We know, to start with, some things about babies. Now, this is easy to make a comparison here between spiritual and also physical, because there's some things about children we know. To start with, when they're born into this world, they do some crying. I mean, they do some crying. They don't care where it upsets you. They don't care if you got to get up early the next morning to go to work. They're going to cry. I mean, that's just the reality of a normal stage of childhood is just going to cry. They might have that colic for 6 months. You don't ever think they're going to get over it, but they will. They'll get over that crying after a while. Next thing we know about babies is that they're easy to get upset. I mean, just look at them wrong, and they'll start crying sometimes. Where's Matthew at? Where's Matthew at? Sometimes you can just look at him, and he'll pucker up. That's just a stage of babies sometimes. You just don't know. If you get too close to them, they might just cry, and they might easily get upset. And also, they create messes. As I talk about these things, you just think about now baby Christians. You know, they cry, and they easily get upset, and also they create messes. You know, your children sometimes when you learn them to eat, and you know, they got food all over the face and all over the floor and all over the table, it's easy for them to create messes. Well, as you look at this, the Bible says, you know, that we have two stages here. Paul says to the Corinthians, I can't write unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, unto babes in Christ. So we have normal and we have the abnormal. And we just love little babies, and you see, and we see them grow. Our own little babies, our own children, don't they grow so fast? And you say sometimes, well, you know, if they could just stay little. But you see, you really don't want them to stay little all the time. They're so cute and they're so innocent, but you really don't want them to remain babies. I know whenever I was over at Astoria, there was a lady that come over there once in a while. She had this little baby, had a bone disease and a growth disease. And you could just touch her just about it, and she'd break her arms and break her, and she didn't grow. And they had one of these little carrying things, what you carry your babies in. And she was, I don't know how old she was, 4 years old, and she's about, how old the babies are when you carry them, about 3 or 4 months. And she could talk to you. You know, you eat that thing in there, and it looked like about 3 months old, and she carried on a conversation with you. You gave her a book, she'd read a book. I mean, it was hard for me to understand that, but she weren't about that long. Her mother couldn't hardly move around because her bones were so brittle. I think she passed away, didn't she, Joyce? Last we heard, she did. And, it saddened. It saddened me if that was my child. And my children are so sweet. And yours and your grandkids when they're small. But wouldn't it be sad 4 years later after they're born that you still had to carry them around in these little carrying cages? It'd be sad, wouldn't it, with no growth? Physical, they need the growth. Same thing as spiritual. And some thing for normal kids to grow, they need food. Your child needs food. We all know that. And same thing spiritual. 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says, as newborn babies desiring sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Well, the first thing your baby does is need food, milk. I mean, they got to grow, so they need milk. And same thing as born again babes. We need food. Now, what is the food for a Christian? And that is the Word of God. I've always had a hunger for the Word of God. I never spent enough of time in the Word of God. You know, someone asked Billy Graham about his life. What would you do, Billy Graham, if you could live your life over again? He said, I'd spend more time in the Bible. And that's what I would do too. And then a lot of Christians, when they first get saved, they want to start off in Genesis or either Ezekiel or Isaiah or Revelations. You see, you need some milk, so get over there in the sweetness of the Gospels. Maybe start off there in John. You help people as newborn Christians, and you help them get started off in their Bible study, maybe in the book of John as they go through the New Testament, before they tackle the meat of the Word of God. Get some milk of the Word of God to start with. You see, babies needs milk, baby food, and new Christians need milk, baby food too. But not only that, you know that the babies needs air, and you have to breathe, don't they? I mean, if your baby's not breathing, you know that's what happens. But you see, for a Christian, our breath too, and our breath is prayer life. That's our breath, is a prayer life, is we have prayer life with God. And to be a mature Christian, we need to talk to God, and God needs to talk to you. When you read the Bible, God's talking to you, and then you need to talk to Him in prayer. And then, you know, you need to exercise, because they are learning how to walk, and you hold their hands as the little ones. As they need exercise and learn how to walk, and they'll fall and get a bump. But they need exercise to learn how to walk. You know, if we born-again believers, as Christians, we need exercise too. Well, what is our exercise? Well, our exercise also is telling and sharing others about the Word of God and experience what God's done for you. That's mostly what I just do. I'm just experiencing what God's done for me, and I tell others what God has done for me. What God has done for others, He'll do for you. And that's what our exercise we need. How long has it been since you shared your testimony of what God has done for you? Do you have a testimony tonight that God has greatly blessed you and God has saved you and forgive you of your sins? Isn't it so easy to tell people about that? And then we think about a child, and you bring them home from the hospital or whatever. Don't they need good atmosphere? They need good surroundings. None of us brought our children home and put them on the back porch and told them to do the best we can. You know, that's another lesson we have in a church. You know, once they walk down this aisle, once they've been led to the Lord, you remember now that's the birth part, and that's the easy part, upside of the years of growth. And that's what a church is for. That's what we have a Sunday school for. But we also need to go out and share the Word of God with them and give them instruction in our church. We need to get them in church and give them a job, that they might have a warm atmosphere to grow in. We need a warm atmosphere. Today, I think about a lot of children that's brought up in homes today, and they don't have good atmospheres. I mean, the drug and, you know, the whiskey and, in the broken homes, it's a sad, sad place for a lot of children that's grown up in our country this time. We don't need to be that way in a church. A church will be a warm place that everybody, no matter who they are, can come to a warm place, an atmosphere of church, and where they are loved and supported. Just remember, we got all things in common. That is Jesus Christ. And we need to come to where they might have love. And if we're not a church where people are loved and not support, you know, people knows it. You don't have to put up a sign and tell them, we love you. They'll know it if we are a loving church and if we are a warm church. The reason more people are not saved than born in the kingdom of God, I believe that a lot of churches and a lot of people are so cold that we're so indifferent, we really don't care. But we need to help people. Pleasant Hill, we get them into the church. Invite them, as I said, I've been trying to get them, invite them for Wednesday night and Sunday school. Just invite them to come and help them find the way to the Lord. And then grow after they're saved in the warmth fellowship. You know, when people separate themselves from the local church, malnutrition sets in the spiritual life. God set up this local church, and there's a lot of people don't care about the church. If they are saved, and we know that a lot of people are not saved, we don't know who they are, but a lot of them not saved, they will not come to local church, so they're malnutrition as a child of God. And they'll just wither away. This is one of the ways that God has for you to grow, and that is for the local church and what the local church provides. I thank the Lord for local church because each gives each one of us a way to work through a local church. And anything outside, I'm going to tell you, of a local church is going to die. It'll die because the church is Jesus Christ's body and he's the head. Anything outside the body won't live very long without the church. It's the church. So the youth stage, you know, as we new born again believers and the babies in Christ, there's that baby stage. But then the youth stage, then in verse 14, I have written unto you young men, young people, because you are strong in the word of God, the obedience in you, and have overcome the wicked one. Now, he's talking about the youth. Now, we growing up, you know, as you think about our youth over there, they're strong youth. I'm going to they have strength. He says, you are strong physically. You see these boys, they get in this youth part, and then they start pumping their weights, and they exercise, and these young girls, they got all these sports and playing ball, you know, and they got all this energy. They run all the time, you know. Man, that the energy they got. Boy, they strong. Youth are strong. And I'm telling you, got all this energy in these kids. I say, boy, wouldn't you like to have some of that energy they got put in this body? I said, no, I don't want that energy put in my body. I couldn't stand it. I'm telling you. Could you stand in wore out bodies and you know, that'd be like taking a Cadillac motor and putting it into a Model T? I couldn't handle it. All that power and energy they got to run and do everything they do. But they just full of energy. Well, the Word of God abides in you. I mean, that's a source of a young strength, growing Christian. You get spiritually strong. You see, the Bible, God reveals Himself in the Word of God. This is the only way that we can really know God is right here through this word right here. Because God left us something we can feel, touch, see. And God, the creator of the universe, he leaves with us the word of God himself. That we can understand what he wants us to understand about him. So start living in the Bible. And you know what happened? The Bible start living in you. You start living in the Bible and the Bible start living in you. 3 John chapter, well, ain't one chapter, verse 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Well, what he's saying is there, what if God today would make us physically strong as we are spiritually? What if God would make us physically strong as we are spiritually strong? Some days I might not be able to crawl out of the house. How much energy would you have tonight? How strong are you tonight? All Christian. Now, if he'd make them that, some of them are so malnutrition, they can't even walk. They can't even walk. Man, people come, you know, once in a while, they come one time on Sunday, and they think God, they've done God a great favor. They think they've done God a great favor, and they're starving to death spiritually. And then you think about people who don't hardly ever come. What are they adding to the church? What are they doing to help to build the kingdom of God? They're starving to death. Are you a strong, growing Christian? Have you got the energy and strength to do what God has called you to do? And then verse 13, write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Now there's two words for wicked one in our New Testament. One word for wicked one, and it's mentioned several times, is a person that's willing to go down into corruption by himself. Just go down in corruption by themselves. But the word that's used here is as a person not satisfied to go down by itself, but want to bring someone else down with them. And that's the devil himself. You know, the devil knows where he's going. And he's not satisfied going there by himself. He wants to bring as many people as he can with him. And he don't mind tempting you. He tempted Jesus Christ. Every time that he tempted Jesus Christ, remember out there in the wilderness, he tempted Jesus Christ. And each time he tempted Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ overcome the temptation by the word of God. It has been written. It is written. It is written in the same way with us. And by the way, Jesus Christ overcome the temptation of the devil on the man's side, not on the God side. The same way that you and I do it. He done it as a man. The word of God, it is written. Then he quoted the scriptures to the devil, as we know. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thank be unto God, which always calls us to triumph in Christ and make us manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Because what Christ has done in the word of God." As we hurry on a little bit now, we talk about these adults. Now, are you an adult Christian tonight? "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him," that is, from the beginning. Spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Jesus Christ I have begotten you through the gospel." Now, if you're a mature person, do you have any children as a mature person? I'm not talking about physical now. I'm talking about spiritually. Do you have any children? Paul says, you know, he have begotten you through the gospel. That means that he have led people to the Lord. How many people have you led to your Lord in your spiritual life? You see, the two characteristics of a spiritual mother and father, that we have these same characteristics in our spiritual side as adult parents on the Christian side. And one of them is reproduction. You see, if you're here tonight, if you're a mother and a father, that means you have reproduced life, that you are mother and father. And we have that. Also, we have the illustration or example that we give to our children. Each one of us, as a mother and father, you're an example to your children. Paul says that he was a great soul winner, that he's brought life into this world through the word of God. He's a soul winner. Paul said to Timothy, "You are my own sons in the faith." He had Timothy and many, many others. Do you have any children in the Lord that you've led to the Lord? And also that, we know that as parents, as mature mothers and fathers, we have this reproduction to bring life. But then, you know, the greatest thing is then the example and illustration that you are to your children. The example tonight, if you are a adult Christian, or you are a growing Christian, an adult Christian, is that you're reproducing other Christians, making other Christians. That's soul winning. 1 Corinthians 4:16 said, "Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me," Paul is talking, "that they may be, he might be living so close to the Lord that people want to follow him." Reproduction, that you've led people to the Lord. Then we are capable there of our illustrations. And also as our physical mothers and fathers, you see, you are an example to your children. Now, I know that lost people don't care, no concern about the church and growth or whatsoever. But wouldn't you think if a person is born again and they got little ones, wouldn't you think they'd want their kids to be at the house of God? Wouldn't you think that they'd want to be there with them? Now, if they're saved, wouldn't you think they would? I mean, they're examples. We're examples. Whether they like it or they don't like it, they are an example. Now, if they're saved and they're born again, and they don't have no care or concern about the word of God and the people of God and the things of God, there's some problems. And they're leading their little ones. They have no interest, no concern about seeing their kids grow in the Lord. It's a sad thing to see a child brought into a family and they never come to church and never grow. And family homes that claims to be Christians, mothers and fathers, they are example to their children, whether they want to be or not, whether it be good examples or bad examples. And every one of us is the same way. We are the good examples or we either bad examples, because we are an example. We are an illustration to our children the same way we are to someone that's been born again or saved. Now we begin to be their example. Paul says, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." And you know, we need to live our life that other people might want to walk in our footsteps if we follow the Lord. Now, Jesus is our example, our great example, but also we are too. How are you doing in your growth, your spiritual life? How are you doing? You're growing as you ought to be growing in the word of God and the things of God? How you doing? Are you birthing any children along the way? How many of us invited someone this week to be here on Wednesday night? How many intends to invite someone to be with us on our Sunday school, so our Sunday school will be up? How many intends to be in soul winners and visitation and calling someone? How are we doing with our birthing in the family of God? How are we doing with our illustrations and our examples in our Christian life? And also, how are we doing with our illustration and example in our regular physical life with our children? I'd like for us, Miss Dorothy, if you wouldn't mind, would you come and just maybe you just play a song, if you don't mind. And Brother Robert, we won't sing. We're just going to play a song. If we're going to open up the doors of the church, if anybody wants to come and pray or whatever you like to do this hour. But as I look into the Word of God, you see it's the mirror. Sometimes y'all look in the Word of God and you don't like the way you look. That's what it do. It exposes some things in my life that I'm really not proud of. Then I have to get forgiveness for it. I have to get forgiveness for it. Ask Him. So as you come tonight, as you play whatever song you want to pick out, Miss Dorothy, it don't matter. I'd like to give an opportunity each night for someone to come if they like to. If you stand this hour, maybe you just want to bow your head and talk to the Lord. The door to the church is open. Any requests be made. Father, we want to thank you for hovering upon us this hour in this church. I do believe, Father, that you have spreaded your wings around this lovely church, this great gathering here this night. And now the Spirit of the Lord has hovered over us this hour as we gaze into the Word of God.